Welcome to From Within. This is an impromptu recording just to touch base, check in, share a few things. I hope you're all doing well, even if things feel challenging. I hope that you feel grounded and centered in a positive place. Which is where I'm at. I have been feeling immense challenge. It is April. And the beginning of this year, I had expectations, which I thought were good goals, but as I continued to miss the mark, I realized, were they goals or were they expectations? And I'm not somebody who likes to make excuses, so it's not about missing the mark of my goals and being a failure, but it's more so about being open to life and the bigger challenges that are sent your way, like a car breaking down, or a client situation that has you have no control over, or even a death in a family. This year, I have faced more challenges that have set my expectations into a spiral, in the sense of I have had to realize that each day is divinely planned. We can show up to the day, we can do our part, and we can still miss the mark. I love that I have a supportive family. My husband is grounded with me in everything that I walk through and continues to encourage me. That is such a gift because before I didn't have a great track record of choosing calm, supportive partners. I had a track record of choosing self-sabotaging, chaotic partners, and I admit I was self-sabotaging and chaotic myself at that time. So it's nice to be in a place of wholeness in myself, and my faith is strong. So a couple of things. One, my grandmother passed away a few weeks ago. And before she passed away, we went and visited her, which was amazing. And it's just been weeks of feeling like the business plan I had is out of reach. And I can make calls. I can touch base. I can try to plan as much as I can try to plan around the limited time that I have navigating a death in a family, but the reality is you just have to surrender. So this is kind of a pep talk to myself, maybe, or just a check-in with myself, and I thought I would share it with all of you guys. Aside from my grandma passing away, which just to spend a little bit of time actually there before I move on, is my grandmother, Alice, who's my mother's mother, was my last living grandparent. And my mom and I are very close. I speak to her daily. And wanting to be there to support her and her siblings was mostly my goal in my grandma's passing. I was able to witness my grandmother grieve the passing of her husband, which was, I want to say, 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago now. My grandma has been a Catholic her whole life, and she really rejoiced that her husband was in heaven and walked each day knowing that when she died, she was going to join him in heaven. And I valued watching my grandma grieve my grandfather. I know she was sad, but she had such a faith in the Lord that she kept her feet firmly planted on a rock in a way that I didn't see her lose herself in that time. And I actually ended up moving in with my grandmother when my grandfather passed away to support her. And I just, which I don't think she needed any support once I moved in with her. She was, her life was adjusting a lot, but she was faith-filled. And I kept feeling that as my grandma was passing, be faith-filled like Grandma Alice. It's okay to be sad. But sad is sad, I also kind of realized, was tied to those expectations of conversations maybe I wanted to have with my grandmother, which I had all my conversations with my grandmother. I, of course, I would take 100 more years with her of conversations, but I felt grateful for every word she shared with me. And I have very personal one-on-one memories with her from living with her and maintaining our relationship. We just celebrated her 80th birthday in Santa Cruz, and my sister and I went down with our families, and she was in pretty good health, I would say. But my sister and I just knew in our spirits that this could be the last birthday. And sure enough, that was 3 months before she passed away. So, listening to your spirit was something that I was empowered by through this experience, and trusting myself and not hearing that voice and pushing forward, but hearing that voice and praying on it inside and praying on the plan of, okay, we should do this, we should do that. I didn't actually end up seeing my grandma until the week, the day before she passed away, actually. And we didn't know she was going to pass away, but it was my son's spring break, and I just couldn't get my family down to see her. But I knew that spring break would come and I would bring my family down, and I didn't feel, at that time, my grandma's health had rapidly declined, and I knew, we all knew she was approaching the end of her life, but we had no idea how close it was. So the miracle of getting to see her the day before she passed away, and then actually the day she passed away, I ended up sleeping a lot that day, like resting, deep resting, to the point where I woke up and to a message saying that she had passed. And as I woke from that rest and read that message, I would have thought that I would feel some level of devastation. My grandmother is what I call the seed of my faith and just such an important person in my life. But I did not feel devastation. I felt joy. My Spirit said hallelujah. And I tried to stay in that hallelujah place of rejoice in the Lord and giving him praise for the life that was my grandma and staying focused in my faith, knowing that I have an incredible relationship with God. And I am so thankful that my grandmother demonstrated a relationship with Christ that I try now to embody. I'm a Christian, so I don't practice the Catholic faith in the way that she did, but I practice the Christian faith in the way I would imagine would make her proud. I'm serving and giving of my time, and I tithe every dollar that comes in. I tithe. I don't even wait till I get to church. I tithe. And it's been so incredibly empowering to know the difference between standing on the rock that is my faith or standing in the sand. In my opinion, which is just earthly chaos. So, as a lot of things have happened to me this year, I have actually remained very grounded. And I have such hindsight into the work that I've been doing for the last 10 years to just really encounter myself and grow. And evolve and build my relationship with Christ and not worry about anything else other than being the person, like walking, like I feel like WWJD, what would Jesus do? I have petty fleshly thoughts and I do petty fleshly things. Still, but I am definitely trying to embody Christ so much more in my life. And the passing of my grandma was really a milestone in my own faith of hallelujah, joy, rejoice in the Lord for everything that you have. Give us this day our daily bread. To me, that means. We are only given what we need to get through today. The Lord does not give us a week's worth, a month's worth, a year's worth of bread. Just one day. Stay grounded in today. Don't worry about the future or the past. Stay focused in the daily bread. So, navigating the loss of my grandma, I had a few cry sessions and the day I went to go see her, I went alone and I met my mother there. And I was listening to The Blessing, which is a worship song by Kari Job, because it has a, I don't know what you would call it, a part where it says amen. It just says amen, 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 over and over and over again. My grandma always sung that part. Long before it was in the blessing, she always sung that part. So I had been listening to the blessing on repeat just to sing that amen and, just to feel the blessing of my grandma's generation and my mother's generation and my generation and my children's generation. And if I could live to be like my grandmother and have my daughter and my daughter's daughter and just. That is such a blessing. And so definitely let myself just kind of lose it a little bit on the car ride to see my grandmother, preparing my spirit for the reality of the last time I had been with her, it was her birthday, and now she is lying in a bed on morphine, which if anybody's lost somebody at usually when they're on morphine, it's the end. They're not too present anymore. It's to help with pain. They're in pain and at the end of their life. But I just was crying in the car, and I just spoke every single one of my ancestors by name and begged them to be present for my grandmother's passing and to welcome her into heaven. And that was my mourning. That was really my mourning. Then I went to see my grandmother, and I've also been working a lot on deep breathing, which is why I started this with two deep breaths. I usually like more, but I figured for the sake of this recording, I didn't need to go on and on and on breathing. But I've been really working on my breathing, and when I feel my emotions starting to kick, whether it be, there's a lot of things I learned about body scanning and just having a mindful awareness of when my hands start to sweat or my throat gets tight. Things like that are more of a signal for me now to breathe deeply. My mindful practice tells me to take my shoes off, take my socks off, listen to the sounds around you, feel the air, tap into your senses, enter your body more than being present with what's going on outside of your body. Just stay present inside my body. So when I went and saw my grandma, took my breath away. I had actually already seen a photo of her, so I knew the condition she was in, which was why I had cried and screamed at all my ancestors, like, "Welcome her!" Gosh, I need to have another prayer session where I thank them because they did. He did the next day, which is so incredible. And I know they were all there. I know because my mom said she kept in the whole week prior to her passing, including the week that I was there, she kept lifting up her left hand, which she was left-handed, and saying Betty or Betts. And she had a twin sister named Betts, Betty. Betty was one of the people I was talking to, so I'm just so grateful that they met her there. I know the Lord was there, and just she's in heaven now. So I felt so incredible leaving my grandmother before she had passed. I went home to my husband, and he was shocked that I was in such positive spirits. I mean, here my grandma is dying on her literal last day, and I was so faith-filled. The blessing was all over me. I just felt my nose get, I don't even know what the word would be, tingy. And that just felt like tears were gonna come. Yeah, the blessing was all over me in a sense of gratitude. Hallelujah. My grandma was going to pass. I knew she wasn't gonna be in that state for much longer. And you don't know how long somebody's gonna stay in that state, but my spirit was saying, rejoice. We've got her. I just thank God for my faith because I think about my family who might not have that deep of a relationship with Christ like I have. And I just pray that this maybe draw them closer to him so that they feel comforted. They know that she's in heaven, and not just saying, oh, she's in heaven, but really rejoice in the fact that we got the days we got with her, and now she is our guardian angel. I really thank God for my faith. We buried her. We had her funeral and burial this last weekend, and I was mostly concerned about empathically being in everybody's presence and feeling their grief, because I learned that grief, when somebody passes, it really surfaces a deep sense of grief regarding whatever it is in your own life. So if you've lost a loved one and another loved one dies, I feel like you're brought back to that place of that last or last few. I don't know. You're brought back to a place of when you've lost people in your life. And I just was aware that at the funeral, people would be grieving, and grieving my grandmother, and grieving the losses of their own family members. Maybe feeling unresolved grief surfacing. And I know a lot of their feelings were for my grandmother, but I just am open to how grief makes people analyze how they navigated past loss. And because I had a lot of conversations with people, and it was interesting. A lot, I don't want to say a lot, but people would say, would immediately start into when my grandmother died, or when my mother died, and or when my father died, and it didn't bother me at all. I appreciated hearing them talk about the memories of their loved ones, so I valued that, and I don't have any expectations of. I just appreciated that they were even speaking to me and that they were sharing these memories or these thoughts. And but they'd get to a place where they're like, okay, this isn't about my grief, and I would say, but it is, because that's important. And I think part of losing people is just navigating our own experiences. It's a reminder of mortality and immortality, life or death. And I really valued actually hearing people's thoughts on their families, and I even had a friend like really evaluating how their mother grieved their mother and how they wished they had been there more for their mother when their grandmother passed. I think when people asked me how I was doing, I just said, I am faith-filled. I'm probably overflowingly faith-filled like my grandmother. And so I'm mainly focused on supporting my mom, being the daughter that she is to my grandmother. I want to be that to her also, in a sense of supporting her and being present. And what a gift to have such a faith-filled grandmother, such a faith-filled mother who show up. I am so blessed, like so blessed. I see so clearly how incredible of a daughter my mother was to my grandmother. That's what makes me feel emotional, is the gratitude of how I have been blessed to be in this family that I'm in. I'm wiping tears away from my eyes. This is a podcast recording, and I'm not trying to, like, oh, woe is me, but I just want to be present, in a sense of that's mindfulness, having an awareness and just labeling it. I have tears falling from my eyes. I feel sorrow for my mom losing her mom. That's where my sorrow is. And our moms can't live forever, but my mom was so close to her mother in a way that I'm so close to my mom. I talk to my mom every day. She talked to her mom every day. So knowing that my mom has that void, that makes me sad. But I also know my mom is somebody who shows up for herself, takes care of herself, and is moving into a new chapter of her life. So, very grateful. I mean, I've gotten to watch my father support my mother, and my grandmother Alice was a mother to him also in a deep, deep, deep way. And he really kept shining the light on my mom and your mother, your mother, your mother. And I just kept thinking, yeah, my mother, but you too, because Grandma Alice was your mother. And with all the light on my mom, I just was watching my father. And he's somebody who is very, very physically active. I mean, he's in his upper 70s, and the man is maybe mid 70s. Let me correct myself. Mid 70s. The man is spends every other day, every day, he's either walking 5 miles to go shore fishing on the beach or playing 18 holes by foot. He continued to do as much of that as possible, but I also saw him just moving around and feeling so faith-filled and grounded. I felt like I actually got to see everybody maneuver this big life experience of losing Grandma Alice. I just watched him, and he remained kind, and he kept moving, man. He just kept moving. I love when I see my father sit down, although I hate how uncomfortable he is. Which, I mean, he's just not somebody who sits down and rests. My mom loves to say, well, he's wired like a professional athlete, because he was. They train, train, go, 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 move, move, move. There's just an agenda every single day of things to accomplish and get done, and it's constantly eyes on the mission. And that's how my father operates, but I love seeing him sit down, and that's something I've really worked on in my life. I want to sit down and breathe, calm myself down with silence, also not just constantly moving, because I am like him in that way. Of course, the Lord sent me a West Indian Caribbean man who is very island vibe. I mean, he is as gentle and peaceful and calm. I actually don't think I've ever met anybody as gentle and peaceful as calm as Anderson. And he is such a gift to me because I am very hardwired like my father. I could go, 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 go. And if I'm not doing something, there's guilt in what I could be doing, but I have worked very hard on removing that guilt and being more present in my body and removing guilt, expectations, shame of you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be doing this, and doing what I can, which kind of brings me back to the whole this year has been an out-of-body experience in a sense of things that I wanted to achieve. I'm doing a 12-week year, which means there's 4 years in 1 year. Every quarter is its own year. I'm in the second year of 2024. It's a sales practice to push yourself. Of course, I'm doing that. I'm my father's child. I've been very disappointed And even as those words come out of my mouth, I'm like, are you very disappointed though? Because the gift of that's my critical thinking mind, but my mindful thinking mind goes, yeah, but you've stayed grounded in your family's needs. And I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I just try to stay present in their space because they are such a gift, and I will never get this time back with them. So if I feel disappointed in work productivity, I just look at family productivity, and we're thriving. Even burying my grandmother, we are thriving. I saw my mother and her siblings come together in a way that was thriving. They worked together, they had dinners together. It was just so beautiful to watch them work together the way they did. So, family productivity has been at an all-time high, but I was really focused on this 12-week year and how I was going to slay this year with business. And full transparency, I just feel like everything with business has been ripped out from under me in a sense of God saying, absolutely not your priority yet. I'm trying, I'm showing up, I'm doing all the things that I need to do, making calls, booking open house. I also was running my social media business, which I let one client go. Maybe the day before my grandma passed away, I let a client go because I just decided it was time for me to let them go and to put that energy into real estate because I had another client and I'm trying to walk away from my social media business. Well, I literally, that was probably a Wednesday. I went home. We went home Thursday night. I was let go from that other social media client by Monday morning. And that took so much out of me in a sense of shock of, wow, I just went from X amount of income to lower income to lower income. And that was incredible. I asked myself, and it all just feels super divine because as scary as that may seem, I mean, that's the whole plan was to, maybe that's what Q1's purpose was, to wrap up the social media business and shift into real estate. Kind of somewhat therapeutic and verbal journaling, so as I'm saying that, it's clear that that was what it was. Q1 was about wrapping up social media, my business, and letting it go. I would say to people as they want me to work for them, I am not taking on new clients. I am taking real estate clients. Do you want to buy or sell a home? That has been what my focus has been. So I also want to say if I hadn't let go of that client before I was let go by that other client, it would have been harder to let that client go. And I needed to. It's part of the divine bigger plan, and it just all works out in a way that is so beyond our control. And it was shocking to me to Monday morning. Basically, it was abrupt in a sense of, oh, we're going to pause, we're going to evaluate something, which is totally fine. I don't burn bridges. I love any decision that's made like that because I trust what's going on in the world, in the universe of my journey and what's ahead. But it was so abrupt that it caught me off guard, literally took the wind out of me. I cried that day more than I had cried about my grandmother passing, and I think it was a cry of everything, just like, wow, God, I am in surrender. I am clearly not in control of the universe. I cannot ask for more days with my grandma. I cannot ask for more days with a client. I have to continue to pivot and remain on the rock that is Christ. That was difficult for me, going home from losing my grandmother to losing my best client. I just was shocked. Like, what's going on here? But I knew my faith was going to carry me through it. I knew that the gift, the seed that my grandmother planted into my mother, who planted into me, which is there's always a silver lining, and God always has a bigger plan. You will not see it in the moment, but remain grounded in Christ. You will get to it. I don't plan on filling those social media client spaces. I am excited to be moving away from that business, although I did enjoy it. It had market share over my mind every single day that I was doing real estate. It just had market share over my mind. I needed to serve these clients. I needed to serve these clients. So it has freed up market share in my mind. That is exactly why I knew I needed to wrap up the social media business. So now I am a full-fledged realtor, which is exciting, although this year has been very trying. And so it took us, we had a car breakdown. It took us about a month and a half to get it fixed. Maybe even a little bit longer, because during that month and a half, 1 week my husband went to Atlanta to be with his brother, and 1 week I went to Virginia to go to a women's conference and to see all of our friends that we have, family, I mean, sisters that I have in Virginia. So that was 2 weeks. It's just been a lot of things beyond me that have pushed my business away. And so it's been fascinating collecting the data, being honest with myself, and moving through each step of this year and saying, it's yours, God. It's not mine, it's yours. I started a practice in 2020 of putting my head on the ground, getting in a somewhat child's pose, like, and putting my head on the floor and saying, it is your day, God. It is not mine. And that was something that came up at the women's conference, saying that every morning, and also say, who can I forgive today and who can I bless today? So the budgeting has gotten a lot tighter, which is kind of exciting, because it's like, I guess I should have been budgeting in this way, in this tight way. I should have been budgeting like this, regardless. That's been eye-opening, and I'm super optimistic about this year. I'm excited about what God has planned for my business. That is the prayer I'm asking for, just to, before my grandmother passed, Pastor Otis at Midtown Church preached a message. It was the Thursday before we went down to Santa Cruz to see my grandmother. It was 2 Thursdays before Easter. So at church, everybody was talking about the crucifixion. But actually, they were talking more so about the days before the crucifixion. So what was Jesus doing, and how he broke bread with the disciples, had his last meal, how he went to the garden with three of his disciples and said, stand guard, I'll be back, and went and prayed to his father, Christ, and how his first prayer was, more about his will. And then, I don't take this from me. Please take this from me. I don't want to die on this cross. How could I possibly have to die on this cross, God? He goes back to his disciples. They're asleep, and it was also after the Last Supper, so it's like Pastor Otis made a joke about how do you expect your people to stay up at like 2 a.m. in a garden, in a dark garden after a party? And it's probably right. They were asleep, and he said, "Hey guys, like you're supposed to be. I asked you to stay awake, and you're sleeping." And so he said, "I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna pray one more time." He goes back into the garden, and his prayer changed from basically my will to your will. Just help me navigate your will. And that's exactly where I'm at. I'm in that second prayer of help me navigate each of these days. What is the plan? What is your plan? I get it. I'm running a 12-week year. Cool. I'm still going to run this 12-week year, God. But it's going to be your 12-week year, not my business 12-week year. And everything in my life goes through Christ, but I definitely labeled that a business 12-week year, which I pray over my business all the time. And I feel the Lord's presence in my business. But that 12-week year was such a salesy thing that I just didn't label it his. And now that 12-week year is his. Just help me, God, navigate each challenge that you bring me. Help me navigate your will. I mean, you're not so much bringing me these challenges. I'm bringing myself these challenges, or the universe is bringing you these challenges. But just help me navigate your will. Strength, give me strength. Help me navigate it strongly, bravely, grounded on the rock. Be honest with myself, take care of myself. Which I have. I mean, I am in better health. I mean, my allergies are on 100, but I feel like I'm in pretty good health that I haven't been in a long time. I've been working on these last 6 months, getting even healthier. So, which is one of the few things I felt like I could control. So I said, let me be honest with myself in that category. So yeah, this year has been quite the start. I have shifted from the first prayer to the second prayer. God is good. I know that, He has victory and promises written for me this year, professionally, in my business. I'm excited about those promises. I'm excited to speak about this in the sense of past tense and how valuable it is to have faith. I took bold, this building business optimization life by design, bold, this real estate class through Keller Williams last year, and it really made clear that business is either mindset or skill set. I am working on both. I am excited about both. In these last few months, I have done new things in my business that excite me. Have they generated a cash flow? No. So that's where my earthly, petty flesh has to be like, do you have faith in the process? Or are you looking for instantaneous gratification? Which is difficult because, come on. Of course, I'm looking for instantaneous gratification, if I'm honest. It's like, who doesn't go to the gym and do 20 sit-ups and look at themselves in the mirror and say, do I have abs yet? But luckily, I have reached a personal level of maturity, knowing that I don't seek instant gratification anymore. the journey is my testimony, and it is all something that I will get to share with anybody who wants to know about it. I will get to share with my children. I get to share with my husband, even my parents, this journey I get to share with them. And by the journey, I mostly am meaning the part that feels like I'm just crawling on the ground in a dark room, feeling the walls, trying to find a light switch. And instead of actually crawling around on the floor trying to find the light switch, I'm finding more peace and just turning over and laying on my back and breathing, not allowing myself to panic about the light being out, and just saying, there is peace to be had in this place, and there is joy to be had in this place. When we were in Virginia, I remember Anderson and I were navigating what felt like a very dark time. It was post-pandemic. There was a lot of depression around, missing our families, just isolation. And I remember during that season, probably like halfway or more into it, and I said, that's it. I'm now praying in joy. We are clearly enduring. I am going to pray in joy. And it started, joy came all around me, and it was fascinating. And now when people are communicating to me and I hear that they're in an enduring season, I love saying, okay, it's time to pray in joy. And even seeing their hearts lift a little bit, like, right, am I asking for joy? Am I bringing joy into my life? So now, as I navigate these things, I feel much more aware of praying in joy, actively being joyous, sharing joy with myself first. Finding ways to share joy with myself, what makes me laugh, what makes me smile, what brings me peace. A bath could be joyous. A high five in the mirror could be joyous. Cutting my fingernails could be joyous. Riding my skateboard could be joyous. Journaling, recording this podcast, understanding what it is that brings me joy. And I also learned in the pandemic, I wanted to be many micro doses of joy, so that I'm not burning out trying to bring myself joy. It's just like literally finding joy in the little things. Like I said, cutting my fingernails. I never found joy cutting my fingernails before. But it's self-care. And I love it when my fingernails aren't dirty and not cut. And of course, I could go get them done, but I just love cutting my fingernails now. So staying grounded on this rock has been saving grace, because the waves are smashing this year, and I would have liked to have been much more productive with my business in the sense of financially reflecting, having a return on my work. Last year, there was a time when I went to Anderson and just said, it's like I'm sitting in a parking lot. And I said the Walmart parking lot because, let's be honest, I love Walmart. I'm sitting in the Walmart parking lot in my car. I mean, that's hypothetically what it feels like I like am doing in an alternative life. Like, I'm over here focusing on open house, focusing on church, focusing on events, focusing on my database, focusing on my social media clients for work. But what was the return of all that focus was equivalent in my mind at that time of sitting in a parked car in a parking lot. I cried about that the first time I said it because I was so frustrated by that reality. But I'm aware now that My timeline is not Christ's timeline. Like, I have to be reminded of that all the time, unfortunately. Which is why I also say your day, not mine. Keep me in that space of knowing, God, you are the one in control. And just keep showing up for myself. Keep running my life through my joy filter, bringing myself joy, staying focused on the log in my own eye and not starting to look at the log in my husband's eye or the log in my children's eye or the log in my whatever's eye. The log is in my eye. If I want to talk about things that need to be fixed or problems, log in my own eye. And then just being rooted on bringing myself joy. Being faith-filled. Praising God. Hallelujah. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Giving him that praise. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is earth. We are walking each day with Christ, right now. Yes, when we pass, we also go to heaven. But I believe this earth is also heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, one day at a time. Daily bread, not weekly bread, not monthly bread, not 12-week year bread. This daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Help me be forgiven by you, God, for where I have fallen short. And by finding forgiveness for myself, I believe is how I am capable of forgiving others, God. So just thank you for teaching me to forgive myself, to not hold shame, to not hold guilt, to not say, oh, you should have been, you should have been, you should have been. No. I am on your rock. That's the only thing I need to be doing. Deliver us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Keep me from temptation. Keep me convicted to stay healthy, God. Keep me away from negativity. Keep me away from being negative. I think there's even one Bible version that says, deliver me from myself. We are the evil things. Deliver us, God, from our flesh, petty, short-tempered, impatient versions of ourselves. Help us ground into our bodies the gifts that you've given us, these incredible vessels, God. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Just thank you, God, that I get to build this relationship with you each day. My mindful practice just has me sitting here on this rocking chair. Took my shoes and my socks off. It's 83 degrees out today. It's 3:56. It's a hot day. I'm sitting underneath an umbrella, and I keep having to scoot myself back because the sun is shining, and my feet end up in the sun, and it's a no. I don't want to be hot. So, another piece of my mindful practice is with my eyes and my ears and my senses, identifying five things with my senses. So, I hear kids playing, I can hear birds chirping. I see a palm tree blowing lightly, very lightly in the wind. I can feel the light breeze. It's very light, but I could feel it. I could see the incredibly green artificial grass that And if I put my feet in the sun, I can feel the heat on the ground. And if I put them in the shade, I can feel the coolness of the shade. That has been an incredible practice for me to help me just slow it down. Get away from your thoughts. Lean not on your own understanding. When I'm trying to over understand, you heard that right, aka overthink. I am now grounding in a way that I wasn't doing years ago, and this practice just continues to multiply, multiply, multiply in my life. God, I say hallelujah for my family. Hallelujah for my business. Thank you for doing the job of bringing me away from my social media business. Although it was abrupt, it was just on time. It was a grieving period, and I get to move forward with the knowledge that I've learned as being a social media manager and use it on my own business of real estate, build my brand, build our brand. I hope you all are having a great day. I can't imagine. We're 57 minutes in, and if you're still listening, I just want to say thank you for being present. I hope this encourages you to ground yourself into your faith, ground yourself into your body, ground yourself into the day. Release yourself of expectations. Surrender every day. And if you're like me, you need to surrender multiple times a day. God bless you all. Have a great day.